everybody. I'm Christina and I'm an addict, and I'm here tonight because I recently celebrated 3 years. It was a week ago on Tuesday. And I agreed to Ken to come and be a speaker. I'm nervous. I'm always nervous about this. I'll never not be nervous, I've learned. Or if I am, I'll definitely be the first to tell you all. I've done this a few times, but it still just rattles me to my core for whatever reason. And I have to keep reminding myself that it's just a share. It's just like a normal share, but a little bit longer, and I'll be okay. Last week, we had a speaker, a guest speaker, speak off the cuff, kind of last minute was decided. And I thought that was so genuine and lovely that I want to do something like that. So I decided all week long that I wouldn't think about what I was going to say tonight, and then I decided about 20 minutes ago that that was a mistake. And because I had no idea what I was going to talk about, so I started writing stuff down. So if I jump all over the place, it's because of that reason. I feel like it's important to qualify. When I first got here, when I first came to the meetings, I was pretty miserable and depressed, and I was lost. I didn't know how to live my life without using. And it seemed to me like everybody here was doing really, really well. And I felt like I didn't belong. I thought, well, there's something wrong with these people, and they don't know my suffering. I suffer too much. I suffer too much to be like them. So the first time I heard somebody share that they struggled too, I found that relatability, and I found that connection. I think it's important that we qualify, why we're here. I began drugs when I was 12 years old. I grew up in a household that was not. It was not a lot of love. It had moments of love, but there was mostly just neglect. But I had an explosive father, that left, an indelible mark upon me. And I know it's one of the reasons why I ended up becoming a drug addict. I carried a lot of pain with me for a really long time, and I think children are meant to be seen and heard, and I wasn't seen and I wasn't heard. And anytime I showed emotion, for example, I was told to, sit down and shut up, or I was punished for crying. And I think that we learn early on to shove our feelings down, and I know that that's something that happened to me. I apologize for my ums. I tried to speak this week without saying and I found out that I literally go completely blank and quiet. If I don't say I can't move on. So I tried, it doesn't work, but I hate the ums, but there they are. Anyway, I learned early on to use other things to shove down my feelings. One of the first things I picked up when I was 11, 12 years old were cigarettes. And then from there, it didn't take long before I had my first foray into drugs, and it was hardcore stuff. I didn't start out with just a little beer and weed. I started out with some hardcore stuff at the age of 12. And it was a sign of things to come. I spent my high school years partying so much that I struggled to graduate high school. I quit when I had just 3 months left the first time. And then out of boredom, I went back the following year out of nowhere in September. And then I quit about 6 weeks before I graduated that second time. But both times I was struggling to keep my grades up and to get the credits I needed because I was partying so much. As soon as I got out of high school, almost as soon as I got out of high school, I started following around the Grateful Dead. I met my first husband doing this, actually, in line for tickets for the Grateful Dead. And if you know anything about that lifestyle, you know that there's a lot of drugs involved. There's a lot of drinking, weed, there's a lot of psychedelics involved. And I did that for 6 years. I spent 6 years traveling the country, following around the Grateful Dead, having a blast, to be honest with you, but also being, on a lot of drugs. I think it's difficult to go to a show of music that you love with a bunch of people having a good time, traveling around the country, meeting new people, and to not say that you had a good time, right? I struggle with looking back upon that time with nostalgia, actually, because I don't want to look up back upon the drug use with nostalgia. I don't want to remember it like that. I don't want to romanticize it at all. But there's a lot that went down in those years that really shaped who I am as an adult. They really did. It taught me a lot about myself. When you kind of strip away and you don't have a home and you live out of the back of your car, you learn what you can tolerate and can't tolerate really quick. You learn how to get along with people really fast when you're traveling around. Anyway, met my first husband there, and when I got pregnant, after we married, I settled down with the drugs. It was the thing to do, and I was determined to not be the kind of parent that my parents were. I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew what I wasn't going to do, and I tried to study and learn what I would, but I dove into parenting. Hardcore was the hippie granola mom and a little bit of a soccer mom and all of those things kind of wrapped up into one, really dedicated to my children. And everything changed when a certain person came into my life that was a heroin addict at the same time as I had an injury and received a prescription for pain medicines. This person taught me how I could buy more drugs off of the internet, and they used my prescription to get high with, and they told me things like, when you give me these pills, it helps me not use heroin. And I didn't understand that pills and opiates, that enough of one was the same thing of another. I was so naive that I was feeding him these pills and feeding them to myself, and I had no idea that they would cause such terrible withdrawal. I had no idea that they would cause such a powerful addiction. So I found myself addicted to pills very quickly, and it wasn't long before somebody offered me heroin and said I wouldn't feel so bad if I took some heroin. And I went from being this really dedicated, loving wife and mother to, in fact, I went back out on the road and started traveling around to festivals and doing that kind of stuff, leaving my kids behind with their father. I wrecked a good marriage, and I abandoned my kids. There's no other way to look at that. I tried for years to call it all kinds of things, which kind of brings me to saying that I'm a person that has struggled my entire life with taking responsibility for anything. I have always been someone that believed that things just happened to me. I did not see my role in things whatsoever. And this program has changed that. And I'll get to more about how I got here. But this program has really helped me to see how most of the things that happened to me in my life were situations that I put myself in, that I made specific choices that led to me having certain events, happen. And that's not to blame myself when I was a victim of certain things, like my childhood, or there were other things that I was definitely suffered some trauma and was a victim of. In general, I was really irresponsible and just incapable of accepting that I caused my own problems on a daily basis. So not too long after I became a heroin addict, my drug using partner took off on me. Actually, he went to rehab where I helped to send him. And I was left alone with no money, no insurance, no husband, no family. And no drugs anymore. And out of a moment of desperation, I looked in the phone book to see if there was anything that was available for me to get some help. And I found Narcotics Anonymous in the Yellow Pages. And I went to my first meeting pretty instantly. And this was back in 2008. And before you knew it, I was going to a meeting every day. I was doing the 90 and 90. And I was really, really certain that once I figured out how to kick this heroin, I would be okay. And it didn't help that I went into a program that was very religious, at least in the area where I live, very religious. And I think that your experience in NA is very different depending upon where your location is. I know people in Australia don't have this type of overly religious dogma coming at them. I'm in the state of West Virginia, and where I'm at, I was told point blank if I didn't find Jesus, I wasn't going to stay clean. And I was so desperate that I tried to find Jesus, and it didn't work out for me. But I got a few months under my belt and I wasn't using heroin anymore, so I was pretty sure that I had this thing and that I could leave the program. And I didn't need it because of the God stuff on top of it. It really that helped push me away. But my arrogance and my not getting it, I didn't get it yet. I didn't get that all drugs were my problem and that I had a drug problem, not just a heroin problem, that I had an addiction problem and not just a heroin problem. I didn't get it. And so I went back out there and thought that I could use other drugs successfully. And repeatedly, this never happened. I hit so many rock bottoms. I was in and out of my children's lives. I traveled, I ended up living all over the country just because I would pick up and move my location to get away from the trouble that my drug using had caused. And I would take the kindness of someone that cared for me and loved me and wanted to see me do well and go live with them for a little while before I found where the drugs were, where they were, and wrecked my life and usually their life all over again. I didn't find this program again until I ended up getting pregnant and having a third child. And I found this program again after she was taken and removed from me. Because of my drug use. That was the biggest thing in the CPS case, was that everything they had seen that I was doing wrong, they said was obviously a result of the fact that the drugs had warped my mind. They could see that I loved my child, but that I just had lost touch, and I really had. I really believed back then that that you were a horrible person if you reported a mother that was using to CPS. I didn't think that a mother that was using with her kids in the home was the problem. Just the people that would tell on us were the problem. And that's really how I thought. Like when I think about that now, it seems so foreign to me, and it was only where I was just 4 years ago. Anyway, that I was led back to this program because I had to come to meetings. It was part of the deal if I was going to get my daughter back. It wasn't too long before I found secular meetings, which have completely changed my life and have given me a chance to grow and adopt and to understand that this program really is for everybody, whether you're religious or not. You don't have to be religious for this program to work for you. I don't anymore have this resentment towards God or the use of the God language in the program. I used to, if I heard it, I instantly recoiled. But I have grown to see that what they mean as God is really just love, or it's all of the spiritual principles rolled into one. It doesn't have to be a supernatural God. And I can have a higher power that can be something tangible and real. It can be the program itself and the people in this program. I wrote down a couple of things that I thought about what I've learned since I've been in this program, and I just want to share some of that with you really quick. I used to believe that how I felt was who I was. So when I felt angry, I thought I was anger. And when I felt grief, I thought I was sadness and depression. And I've learned through this program that my feelings aren't facts, and they don't define who I am, and they pass and they change just as quickly as they come, they go, and something else will come in and replace it. I have learned that I can choose the way I think about myself and about other people. I used to believe that I was a victim of my thoughts, but now I know that I can pay attention to them with mindfulness. I can catch them, and I can literally work to change them. The most important person I've needed to change my thoughts about are myself. And I am the hardest on myself than I am on anybody else. It's super easy for me to love other people, but it's been incredibly difficult for me my entire life to love myself. But this program has taught me that I can do things to change that. I can literally say mantras in the mirror, 10 times a day to remind myself that I'm lovable, that I'm safe, that where I am right now, when I look down and see my own 2 feet, is where I am, that I'm not in the past getting hurt anymore, and I don't have to trip about the future, that I can just be where I am right now and who I am. I have learned that that I don't know where I was going to go with that. I was going to say that I've learned how to change the way that I think about other people as well. I see other people more the way I see myself, and what I mean by that is that people make mistakes, and I realize that nobody's out here, for the most part, especially people in this program, they're not trying to be malicious. They're just trying to survive, and people make mistakes just like I do, and people are worth being forgiven. And I've learned that again, that problems that are around my life, and in my life often are the result of the choices that I have made, and that it's okay for me to accept responsibility. And in fact, until I do so, nothing is going to change whatsoever. I think I've covered most of what I wanted to say or what I thought I could say. And I really appreciate being here. I love you all so much. This program saved my life, and hopefully it'll save yours too if you just stick around.